Hi, I'm Josh, and my Wi-Fi connection is necrotronic. It's hypertonic. Why, it's grease lightning.
Wow.
Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Matt, and I don't have a clever film reference to address the title of one of the movies this week, so I'm simply going to say that as a music fan, my favorite Rolling Stones song is still Highway to Hell.
Well, fair enough. This is Charlie Dan Austin. I was trying to come up with some kind of John Wayne sort of Into the Dark, Pilgrim kind of thing, but I was like, I couldn't really come up with anything. So, yeah. So that's it.
A man a few words and like John Wayne himself.
Wow. And we're going to take you into at least the somewhat dim. Somewhat dim being an adjective frequently used to describe all three of us, because this is Horror Show Hot Dog. First off on our list this week, we had a short called The Wound or La Herida. This is a short that has won several awards. It is a little bit longer than we usually pick for a short on this show, at, I think, 16 minutes plus 2 minutes of credits for some reason. And this has some really neat stuff going on, and then it just forgets to be by the end of it. But for a while there, you've got girl with gruesome surgery wound that very much looks like something out of John Carpenter's The Thing. Turns out wound is exactly like John Carpenter's The Thing. Eats the nurse who's supposed to be doing her wound care and eats her phone when she's taking pictures of it, which is kind of great. And from there, it seems like it wants to escalate, but it just kind of slowly collapses like a fan in a cupboard. Did you guys have that same encounter with this?
Well, I think they kind of had this amazing kind of a setup where it was like, this is occurring in the same world where the guy sticks the tube down his throat and you can hear ghosts. You know, like, this is occurring in the same world where like this way lies madness world kind of stuff, which I think is great. And then, so I think for 2/3 of this, I think they really had a cool idea or something, like this really weird, off the wall, strange kind of deal. But then it just seemed as though they'd have this precious little baby duck, and then they squished it. They just didn't know what to do with it. And they're like, And so it just seemed like it just kind of, it had a lot of momentum and coolness, and then just kind of, they didn't know what to do with it besides just, like, the blood geyser, which, I mean, you know, I'm perfectly fine with the blood geyser, but it sort of, it doesn't, I'm going to say this sentence out loud, it didn't make a lot of sense. So it's sort of like.
It didn't.
You know, so it's kind of like.
Yeah, I agree. I had the same kind of thing of like, I had not watched the whole thing when I selected it for this week. But what I'd seen was like, wow, this is competently done. You know, like the acting wasn't super strong, but I liked the effects work and stuff. And I was like, okay, I think this looks like it's going somewhere interesting. And yeah, this was a thing that didn't have an ending. It just sort of stopped. And I think to give it a payoff, it's like, what is that? It's like, well, what is that? What? Like, aw. And yeah, it's a bummer because I was really on board for like, where's this going to go? And then I think that's kind of what they asked themselves. And maybe they are really happy with their ending. I just feel like it was kind of like, we don't know. And man, endings are hard.
It seems unlikely.
I needed more.
It very much is, you're sitting there the whole time going, ooh, where are they going with this? Ooh, where are they going with this? Like when she takes a picture of the thing with the flash, then the light flashes outside. It's like, oh, yeah, is like, she like about? Somehow in the wound as well? And it's like a time and space warping kind of thing. Ooh, that'd be interesting. Like, oh, the Ivan's body is over there on the beach. Wait, does that mean that the wound didn't eat him? Well, that would be annoying, but okay. Where are we going with this? And then like, we're just not. So, yeah.
I kind of took it as, like, the thing in her tummy was, like, a portal to the beach.
That's where the flash was coming from outside.
Yeah, because, like, she would flash at the thing, and then, like, there'd be a flash from outside, and it's sort of, like, I think. But I don't 100% know. It's, like, that was...
So then when she lies down on the beach, then it just turns her insides inside out? I guess.
Well, maybe the creature got bored too.
Or maybe it's like in Portal when you shoot like the floor and the ceiling and you just keep falling forever, like so you just have a constant input output going.
Oh, maybe, yeah. That's a good thought.
Oh shit. Well, maybe the fault is mine for not figuring out the game that they were playing here. So anything that goes inside the belly ends up on the beach. But then the beach didn't go inside her belly at the end.
Right.
Yeah, I'm still going to have to go back to this. Didn't feel like it was completely baked.
Yep.
Yeah. So this is, I don't know, this is a pass for me. I think it's too long to be as not quite ending as it is.
I would say
I'd say the same. Like I want to like it more, but I'd say meh.
I would go the other way. Like I think the first two thirds are enough. Where it's like I think it's worth watching. The other thing that gets me with productions like this though is that like you have the main lady, who seems like she's an actor, and then you have the nurse guy who seems like he's probably an actor. But then you have Ant and Cops, and Ant and Cops were. I'm just going to boldly state they were friends of the production because, like, especially Ant.
That's what I got as an impression, too.
Saying the words on the page that you gave me. And it's sort of like, and God bless them, you know, I mean, of course, there's nothing, you know, whatever. But it's sort of like, when you watch enough of these ones, it's that kind of, your ear kind of twitches to that kind of thing. And you're like, eh. You know, so it's sort of, yes, yeah, so I think you had two actors and people that maybe were not very much actors. And so that was a little bit, but I, you know, the first two thirds of it was just sort of like, it was so wild and kind of off the wall and very, very off kilter that I like that enough to say like, I'd give it a go and just understand that the ending just makes no fucking sense.
Hmm.
And so two, not so much as in one watch it. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Let's move on to our first movie of the week, Highway to Hell, or Autopista al Infierno, which is equally as goofy as this movie is. Sometimes, especially in the late 80s, early 90s, a movie comes along that is just from fucking Mars. And generally it has recognizable names attached to it, including Brian Helgeland in this one as the writer-director. And Jerry Stiller, Ben Stiller, Anna Mira, what's her name from Buffy? Original Buffy, Swanson. What's her name? Yeah, Christy Swanson, Chad Lowe, which my wife thought was endlessly entertaining. She's like, is that Rob Lowe? And I was like, oh, you may think so. But that's Chad Lowe. This is substitute Lowe.
But he was a nice guy, you know? I was going to say, yeah, he's a sweet and low.
Right. His third brother was Swing, but he drove a sweet chariot. It's fine.
Oh, see, I was going to make a whole used car lot joke. Damn it, you took that away from me.
He had a half-brother, low clearance.
Low clearance?
I don't know. God damn it. Joke.
Let's see if we can build a low bridge to the next thing we're trying to say here.
Oh, and Lita Ford as well. He has a weird bit role.
Yeah, Lita Ford turns up for a second and a half.
Yeah, love that.
It's like Gilbert Gottfried as Hitler for a moment.
In a scene with Ben Stiller's second appearance in the film.
Right. And Richard Farnsworth from The Straight Story.
Oh, yeah.
Turns up as a guy who seems like a harbinger, but ends up being kind of a decent dude.
Yeah.
So this made me think of the scenes from Weird Science where the like futuristic biker gang shows up in the middle of the party, and it has nothing to do with what came before or comes after, but they're just there and we're not sure why. And I think that is that feeling stretched out to feature length is this movie.
Yeah.
We start with guy and his girlfriend driving through the desert.
Through North Phoenix.
Gas station. Yeah. Harbinger says, don't fall asleep in between these two Joshua trees. And he's like, fall asleep between the two Joshua trees? Got it. So he does that and gets pulled over by cop. But not normal cop, hell cop. And everyone calls him Hellcop.
Yeah, that is like his
fantastic.
Name.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like bald and has like things scribed into his flesh.
Yeah, kind of cool Books of Blood style.
But drives a car that looks like one of the Blade Runner spinners got like taken into a chop shop and they just put regular wheels on it.
Yeah, it's like if you retrofitted one of those to try to look like the Blues Brothers as perceived by the Blade Runner future.
Oh, the Blues Brothers Blade Runner future.
That's the Blues like Brothers it. 2000 we should have gotten.
Oh my god, yeah, Blues Brothers 2049. There is still time. Get Ryan Gosling and Ed Armas and Harrison Ford and Dan Aykroyd. Make that shit happen.
God.
Wow. And the car makes the Jetsons noise sometimes.
Yeah.
And spews flames sometimes. But so what we have is Hellcop takes Christy Swanson on Rachel, which our couple is Charlie and Rachel, which I apologize, Charlie.
But I thought and, it was funny because they're on a highway to hell. That was the best part about that. I found that endlessly entertaining.
How funny did you think it was when he saw her reflection in the mirror?
Oh, yeah. That was just sort of like, oh, well, this is true to life as it does.
You're like, god damn, I wish I would have had that mirror.
It's like, son of a bitch.
But the title is literal. Hellcop takes Christy Swanson away on the highway to hell, which is a mashup of like a little bit of the Orpheus myth and the Greek underworld and a lot of Dante's Inferno and a lot of your straight Christian hell. You have a scene where there's the Good Intentions Paving Company with a line full of people who step up and go, well, but I meant to not steal the money, and then just like step into a blender where they're then used to pave the road because... that he goes across the river Styx with Charon, and there's the big LED sign above the thing that says abandon all hope you who enter here.
Yeah.
Like, so there's all the mythology stuff, but then there's also like the diner where all the Hellcops hang out, where there's like Ben and Jerry Stiller and a gag about the spaces reserved for Idi Amin, and like it was just like Fred Astaire and somebody else. Like, it as the this is the weirdest fucking thing, and I was fascinated by it start to finish.
Well, yeah, it's as we were saying before we started recording, at least as I was saying, is like this is not good, like so many Cokefield movies from the late 80s, early 90s, but it is just like fascinating. Like, you're just kind of softly amused the whole time you watch it. Like, you're never scared. You're never, like, truly, like, entertained. You're never, like, cheering or laughing for real. Like, you're just kind of like, wow, the whole time. It's like when you, that's that soft sense of wonder, like, when you see an animal in a zoo you've never seen before. Like, oh, cool, this exists.
Well, I kind of, like, you know, I, not to be sacrilegious necessarily, but it was, like, the one thing that I kept thinking watching it was like, yeah, it's never like really just like never double over like laughing like crazy or whatever. But it kind of plays better than some of the Zucker Brothers movies that if you go back and watch them now, like those,
oh, for sure,
those do not age well at all. And like I was watching this going like, well, I haven't seen this before, but I watched this now and it's like, well, I mean, this sort of seems to hold up a little bit better than those do, I guess. It's like, I don't know. It's sort of so. Yeah, it wasn't like one of those things where you know, like just laughing like crazy. But it's still one of those things where, like I just yeah. I think wow is the right word, but wow, and not like a wow. Look at that 50-foot otter teaching children how to do karate. Like wow, it's not like that. It's more just sort of like wow. This is wow. It's more like that.
It's that like fucking hell, who are these guys kind of thing. Definitely a. I spent the whole time in like a almost giddy state, like almost a deathbed giddiness, because this is also made with a modicum of like filmmaking skill.
Yeah, yeah.
So like this hangs together on a technical level in a competent way, which hardly ever happens with a movie this fucking weird. So yeah. There wasn't that to hold me up, right? And then there was like, I was just kind of so happy by all of the weird shit that it kept throwing at me. By the way, so I had watched like half of it and fallen asleep. Came back from watching Knives Out the other night, which, fuck.
So go see Knives good. Out,
by the way. And my wife likes to sit and talk to the babysitter because she was a former student. So they're sitting and talking and talking, and I'm getting sleepy. And Jess is finally goes, just put on your movie and you can just watch it and we'll keep talking. And so I put it on, and we're at the scene where he arrives to save Rachel, and it's the demon, but we don't know it yet. And so they're like, oh, she just, she's really all up on, And the babysitter goes, is that dude from, she said something really recent, of course. She's like, is that the dude from Parks and Rec? And she's like, no, it's his brother, Chad. And like, oh, okay. And then we get like the demon reveal and the, you know, weird tits dragon and the cutting off of the tail and all that shit. And they're just looking at me and say, you told me to start the thing. I haven't seen it before. I knew it was the weirdest fucking thing. I'd at least fast forwarded it through the casino scene where there are actual boobs hanging out. But, whoa. Yeah, I forgot about the casino.
So
at one point, our guide dies and is brought back to life by a mechanic. Because that's the kind of movie this is. There is a whole biker gang who's just, it's like one of them, they're like the white collar village people, and one of them's a dentist, and one of them's like, none of this makes any goddamn sense, but it's endlessly creative. And to me, it kind of hangs together.
Yeah, I think the creativity is the biggest thing. Like, you don't get a diner sequence like that, like the way that the diner sequence looks and all the prosthetics and effects and all the stuff. I just don't think you get that being half-assed. You know, like, I think you can make a psychotic movie that's so weird and off the wall and just not, like, great by traditional standards, but shows a lot of effort. And it's sort of like, this just sort of seemed to have a lot of earnest, misplaced effort. Because it's sort of like, you know, because also the other thing, too, is like, maybe it's just because it's an 80s movie, but it's sort of like, you know, the other thing, too, is with old Chad. And then with Chrissy Swanson, it's sort of like they're kind of inoffensive, but it's kind of like, you know, they're either one of them, you don't really like have an endearing you're not like emotionally attached to them necessarily. You know, it's sort of like, you know, there are protagonists, so therefore we have to care about them. But it's kind of like, you know, like there's nothing that great about them, and she's slightly annoying, and so it's sort of like. Like, okay, whatever, we're just going to go on this adventure. But then at the same time, there's a lot of those ones from the 80s. Like, was it King Solomon's Mines? Or the Alan Quartermain one, all that stuff? Like, it's like, nobody's particularly likable necessarily. It's sort of like, awesome. Like, we've just sort of decided that they are the middle of the story, so therefore the story's going to be about them.
Yeah, I mean, like, if the other side is just the straight-up devil, then you're like, yeah, you know, I hope he makes it out with his girlfriend, like, just for the human race,
yeah.
Not for him in particular, but just kind of rooting for the humans.
If you're at somebody's house and you're watching a football game, like, you pick a team. Like, okay, well, I picked a team.
One of my favorite little things is at the beginning when Harbinger gives them the car, he says, "You may find something special under the seat," and at the end, he says that to Charlie, then at the end of the movie. Rachel finds the nitro burner under the seat. It's like, well, it's a good thing he told the one guy that, and the guy had no chance to tell the girl that, and she just accidentally fucking found it, or they would just still be in hell.
Yeah. Well, also, I also like the possibility of there being a whole nother movie about kindly old gentleman at the gas station, Harbinger fella, who is part of like some crazy underground like drag racing ring. Because that car is like all beat up on the outside, but it's all outfitted with this looks to be modern kind of nitro box thing. So like, I want to see that movie too, about what you know, a bunch of these like Yakuza dudes, and they're getting street racing and stuff, and then you got these other guys, these like muscly guys and like Hell's Angels and stuff, and you have this guy, and it's sort of like I want to see that movie also.
Can we then assume that that is a prequel to the Straight Story? Right, like after he gets just a little bit older, he's like, you know what, just riding lawnmower is as fast as I'm going to go for the rest of my life. That should be a thing. Yeah, man, this is one of those where I have to be careful because It takes a special kind of temperament to enjoy this movie. And it definitely has its own criteria for being enjoyable. But it's one that I just want to gush about. Because, like, oh my god, this was so creative and weird and fun. And, like, you know the guys in the Zentai suits who are, like, painted to look like the walls and crawling all over. Why was that a thing? That didn't have to be a thing. That was great. Like, how come the whole interior of the hell building was full of soldiers from different eras? Like, who knows? They just decided to put that shit in there. Like, it rings some of the same bells as, like, the two Bill and Ted's movies, even. But it's not... The tone of this is not really broad comedy, except for that diner scene. The rest of it is that kind of... It's very matter-of-fact, and there's the occasional joke thrown in, but I don't think the whole thing is a joke, and so I don't know what to do with it.
Yeah, to me, this... it has, like... it rings a faint spellcaster bell. For, like, we enjoyed it, and it's kind of funny, but it's not, like, meant to be, really. You know? But, like, there's... Like, this is definitely more competent, and it's, like, on a grander scale. But it's still that same kind of idea of just, like, what's... This is just weird. And it's... You can kind of go with it and have fun. But, yeah, like you said, like, you can't just tell people, this is good, watch it. They need to be the type of person you would kind of think would enjoy it. Because it's certainly not for everyone.
Well, it's a question and answer thing. You go, okay, have you seen Monster Squad? Yes. Okay. Have you seen Little Monsters? Yes. Have you seen Dead Heat? Yes. you know, it's like you start to go down the... You know, I start to go down that list, and like once you've gotten into Freaked and Who Slew Auntie Rue, then you're like, okay, it's safe to tell you to watch this. Because yeah. It's sort of like if it's if it stops at like, you know, way at the top end, like you're gonna have to kind of explain it a little bit, not because like we're the experts, but it's more just sort of like these are the type of things that sort of bubble to the surface from time to time, and you're sort of like, it's like okay, well. Yes, technically you can go watch the thing. However, you should know what you're getting yourself into. It's like, well, recently a couple of my coworkers who know do all the horror movie stuff, like they'll ask me from time to time, like, oh, what should I watch for this, that, whatever. And then we got into this thing talking about Korean and Japanese horror movies recently. And I said, okay, there's this one called Dream Home. And I said, but you need to understand that I am somebody who has literally watched hundreds upon hundreds, if not thousands upon thousands of horror movies in my lifetime. It takes a lot to get under my skin. It takes a lot to do all this kind of stuff. This has sort of been my thing since I was like 11. So this is sort of a big thing. This is one of the few movies that like you need to have a warning label on because some of the kills and some of the it's really, whew. And they're like, okay, yeah, that sounds like it might be too heavy. Like, well, that's your decision to make. But I'm just telling you, like, just understand that it's what. And it's like I think when you get into this level of weirdness, I almost think like the same thing applies. Where like. Yeah, there's we all know normal people, you know. Like I know plenty of normal people, and it's like you can't give them weird shit to watch because they're just not gonna. It's maybe they might be into it, but you know, more often than not, like their weirdness scale ends at Killer Clowns from Outer Space, and that's about it. And it's sort of like, and so, you know, while I enjoyed watching this, and I'm glad we watched it. It was wild, and I had no idea this thing existed, so that was super enjoyable. I also don't necessarily know that it works. Like, actually, Joshua, you know what it reminded me of? Was it reminded me my brother was the youngest recorded suicide, and my mother once told me, like, hinting more like your
Complex
brother.
Complex World.
Complex World, yeah, there you go. Yeah. It reminds me of that.
He looked at me and smiled and blew his brains out all over the incubator. All the time growing up, my mother would say to me, why can't you be more like your brother, Ralph? Yeah, goddamn that movie. At some point, Matt, I really want you to come to my house and watch that movie.
What the fuck is this we're talking about?
It's called Complex World, and it is a movie I rented in college because the box art said it was the Rocky Horror Picture Show meets Spinal Tap, which it is not.
I was going to say, what you described is not at all that.
A little bit. No, it wasn't that even in the slightest, but it ended up being a really fun cult thing that I ended up showing to a whole bunch of people. It's that and the werewolf episode of MST3K and Rockula are the three things I make everyone I know watch, and I've only got 2 out of 3 for you. So one of these days, yeah, we can pry out the house.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah. So this guy, like, you know, if you like weird shit, if you watched Phantom of the Paradise and thought, oh, I wish that were less musically, and if you watched The Dark Backward and you're like, well, I wish that was less grimy, you know? But all these movies that just seem to take place in a parallel universe to our own, this is one of those. And I found it vastly entertaining. You know, I thought, maybe think of the one that I always forget the name of, the Satine Was a Mutant.
Oh.
Movie. Also takes place on fucking Mars, but that one, it gets a little slow.
That's This Island Earth.
Yeah.
That's the MST3K, like the actual theatrical movie.
No, not at all, no.
Well, that had mutants.
Yeah, it had mutants, but this is the thing with the devil and Jesus are just like warring aliens, and they come to Earth, and there's the little girl. And,
yeah,
because instead of Satan, it's Satine.
Yeah.
But Satine was a mutant.
Yeah. Oh, God damn it. No, I can't think of what that was. That guy. Fuck you.
So with the without the 70s pacing of that one.
What was that horrible crap?
The Visitor? Something like that? So I say watch this. I had a blast with it. It's weird as shit, and Chad Lowe is weirdly unappealing, and the less dressed he is, the less appealing he is. So it's just like, if you like looking at what Rob Lowe would look, what it would look like if Rob Lowe fucked a railroad tie and they had a baby. And they stuck a blonde wig on it, then go for it. Now, in the interest of being at least moderately responsible, I will say 6.5 out of 10 is my enjoyment of this movie. 6.5 out of 10 dudes dressed like Andy Warhol throwing trash onto the highway.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I love that. The highway guys, they're like taking trash out of bags and throwing it onto the highway. As if, like, and
it's a throwaway, too. It's just a throwaway gag. I love it.
Because in hell, like, they would be putting trash onto the highway. But it's also like, couldn't you be, like, boiling somebody's, like, you know, lower intestine or, like, you know, like, doing, making baby necklaces? Like, no. We have to do subtle as well as big. So in hell, we also put trash on the highway. Well, fair enough.
Yeah. All right, so other people, say numbers.
Like I said, this one is just kind of a weird... What's the Hunter S. Thompson thing? Too strange to live, too rare to die. It's just like it's a strange little beastie. I think we've qualified enough. Like, if you've listened to this, you will know if you're the type of person that might enjoy it. I think it's worth a watch. I was watching this while Kale was playing Fallout 4 next to me, and every now and then I'd be like, what the fuck is even happening? And I was also doing that while watching Pilgrim, but in that one I was just angry, which we'll get to soon. With this one, I was just truly baffled by some of the choices, but I was still just kind of like, I'm still going along this ride with you. Like, I'm not angry at you, I'm just maybe a little concerned. So... If you would know by now if you're the kind of person who might like this. I would say again, I didn't enjoy it as much as I've sometimes enjoyed some of the other sort of just weird shit we've watched. But I certainly did enjoy it more than some of the movies that are on a lot of, like, you know, on paper should be a better movie than this one, and I just didn't think succeeded, you know. So it's a fun little bit of fluff. I could totally see this being the type of thing I would have seen like 19 times on, you know, like a UHF station in the Saturday afternoon or late night on a Thursday or some shit.
Oh, sure.
So I've got a little bit of love for it like that. And this is a very, like, weird late night Joe Bob Briggs type thing. So I'll give it like a 5.5 out of 10. Still not sure why Ben Stiller was grilling on the sidewalk.
Yeah, that isn't...
Griller like a Stiller.
Because he's not... Is he even working for the restaurant?
Like, well, he's just a restaurant guy.
Yeah, but, like, he just seems to be giving away food. I'm pretty sure the cracking an egg on his own forehead was probably his ad lib. He's like, I got this idea about my character. Is it okay if I try something? Like, yeah, kid, shut up. Like, you're here because your dad's here. Like, you're here because, you know, Jerry needed a ride and you drove him here. So we said we'd put an apron on you because it's too far for you to drop him off and come back in the middle of the fucking desert. But
my
yeah.
guess, if I had to venture a guess, my guess is that somebody, because they shot that in like North, like Black Canyon City, my guess is that like somebody made a crack about with Phoenix and like being like, oh, you can like, well, you can like fry an egg on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
And so my guess is that like somebody made a crack about that and then they're like, oh yeah, we should include that. Like, sure. Let's give it to the kind of weirdly like overdeveloped Tom Cruise looking guy. Like, okay, all right, we'll give it to him.
I mean, to be fair, we've all done it. Like, when someone says that, you have to go try it, and it works, but it's dumb.
But, I never found this to be boring, necessarily. I never found it to be overly Zuckery, shrill, and just sort of was like, I was like, well, where are they going with this? Like, I have no idea. Like, we'll see how it plays out. And so, you know, I'm glad that we watched this. I'm glad that this thing kind of came out of wherever the hell it came out of. So yeah, I would say I'm kind of in the Josh range. I would say like it's just for pure enjoyment level. I would say 6.5 out of 10. 6.5 out of 10. Why does Christy Swanson suck now? Like that's just not fair.
Oh.
Out of 10.
Did she become a conservative pundit?
She became a conservative.
Go Victoria Jackson.
Yeah, like not to that gauge of tinfoil, but like. She's up there. It's, you know, anti-vaccinations, you know,
Muslim terrorists. I was just going to say, anti-vaxxing?
Yeah, it's just, you know, all that kind of bullshit. And it's sort of like, God damn it, woman. Like, yeah, jeez. Like, you don't understand.
Your watcher is going to be very disappointed in you.
This is what I'm saying. Ooh.
Ting, tang, walla, bing, bang. I don't know. Let's take a quick break, dudes, and stand up for a second, and then we'll come back with Pilgrim.
Word to
sounds good.
All right, next up we have Pilgrim, or Los Peregrinos. Turns out that peregrine falcons are pilgrim falcons.
Cool.
Who knew?
Oh, they came over on the Mayflower and brought fizzy water.
Dude.
Only the ones from Japan. racist jokes. Sorry about the racism. Yeah, so this is Into the Dark, and again, we have seen like two, I think, that were really interesting. The witch one and the elevator one both did what they set out to do. I think the other ones seem to be just where ideas go to get half baked. You know, I mean, Gigi Guerrero's one was good, but it played like a really solid episode of something. Less as not so much a movie.
Yeah.
And I think it could have been more thoroughly baked, and then everything else has been way less baked than that.
Mm.
Even, and you know, like Puka, the thing with the guy with the weird suit that didn't quite gel either. The one with the cloning the girl so her serial killer son can get the serial killing out of his system
was
another one.
Yeah.
So all of these have felt kind of half-baked. All of them could have benefited from being 20 minutes shorter. I think this is all of those things. We have a family who is presented to us as being in crisis and leading hollow, empty lives, devoid of gratitude, who decide to... stepmom decides to have a authentic Thanksgiving reenactment, which is, I love that she has to keep saying it's a thing.
Yeah.
Because it's so not a thing.
She's convincing herself as much as anyone that this is a good idea.
But pilgrims are going to come and pretend to be, you know, pilgrims in her house and cook a Thanksgiving meal, and this will somehow bring them together as a family. Midway through, we get the feeling that early on, we get the feeling the pilgrims are psycho.
Yeah, there's never two-thirds a hint of the that way they through.
Yeah, we get the feeling that this is like a cult of modern day folks, and then towards the end, we get hints of supernatural that are not really like actively explored or explained. So there are so many problems with this setup, and so many ways that it could have gone better that I just don't know where to start. Like, give me the Twilight Zone version where the family is just zapped back into the 1400s.
Mm.
I could see that working. Or give me the crazed Renfest people angle where they are contemporary people who are just unhinged. Or give me the supernatural pilgrims have come to teach you a lesson in the modern day, but justify it and explain it in a way that makes sense. And none of those things happen. But it starts to me with this whole idea that this family is in some kind of desperate crisis. Because it seems like they're fine.
Yeah, I was going to say,
that was the first impression I got too. It's like, no. I don't think there's anything. They're just rich. That's their problem. It's like,
they're rich and bored.
Well, like, Dad is a little inattentive. Daughter is a little bit acting up. Mom is a little bit.
She's too climby.
Trying to win daughter's love. And yeah, and a little bit social climby, right? So they're not happy, but like, it's not like Dad is drinking a fifth of vodka in the morning and mom is addicted to opioids and daughter is self-harming and son is looking
at torturing squirrels or something. Like,
yeah, like I could see this starting with a really grotesque over-the-top portrait of a family that is just a bunch of brats that are in need of a spanking, you know? I could see the Twilight Zone version of this, and I think that's what you need, because it made me think of Rebirth. Where Fran Kranz is the guy whose friend is like, oh my god, dude, I have to save you from your empty corporate life. And it turns out like he's just fine. He's just living a life. And he's not super happy, but who is?
Right.
But he's not caught in some desperate struggle, you know, like living a life of quiet desperation. He's just living a life.
Yeah.
I think that's where these dudes are. And that weakens the whatever angle the pilgrims are trying to hit.
But that's,
I don't know. This is this fucking thing.
But that's why. Right. But that's why the thing with the lack of commitment to the supernatural part of it is one of the bigger bummers of it, because it's sort of like, you know, just like in Krampus, it's like, you know, for one thing, well, a better movie up one side and the other, but it's also like, you know, what you have in that situation is you do have a couple elements of the thing where it's sort of like there's enough meat here that you can go like, we're going to do kind of a morality kind of snap you back into actively engaging your own life kind of deal, and then it works. Whereas like in this situation, it's sort of like it's very passive, but then they don't commit to the supernatural aspect of it. And I think that's from the onset, that's one of the things that really weighs it down, is that like I really wanted there to be, just from the onset, like just instead of a bunch of extra actors playing a bunch of pilgrims or whatever, like you just sort of have like a group of like four of them, and then you like you see them change shape, or you see them do something. I mean, something to suggest that, like, and then also too, like at one point when things start to go crazy, girl is outside and like doesn't run across the fucking street to use the phone to call the police. And it's sort of like in Krampus, you can't, because everything's snowed over and all crazy, and it's not an option. But in this situation, it's sort of like the movie is presenting it to us as being like, this is what's happening in real time and reality. And it's like, well, if that's the case, then like, go and get a phone, damn it. Like, that doesn't make no fucking sense.
Pointing out, like, you can't do this to us. People will hear us scream, and they're like, so? And then they do stuff, and people are screaming, and turns out nothing happens. So it's like, well, don't point out your own flaws, movie.
Yeah, you gotta pick one or the other. It can't be both. It doesn't.
Yeah,
that doesn't work. That's,
but that is part of my whole problem with why I hated this movie. The premise is so completely bonky donkey that, you know, because, like, yeah, the idea of, like, okay, if you're running from people, why wouldn't you run across the street? Well, why would you let someone just live with you for a week? You know, when the daughter's like, this is not safe. Why are we doing this? Like, she's constantly pointing out that no one in their right mind, no matter who they're trying to impress, lets a stranger show up days early for a thing you paid, you know, let's say $500 for. And they go, oh, I need to actually just live with you and build a shed in your backyard. And like, just have free roam of your house. Like, no one says yes to that.
And mom's like, sure, could you watch the kids?
Yeah, like that. This, like, you're already so far removed from rational thought, with the exception of daughter, who is just going, guys, this is fucked. You know, like, this is totally fucked.
And everyone's treating her like she's insane.
Yeah, and it's like, sorry, movie, you're pointing out how dumb this is to me. And I,
you've got to slip into the supernatural earlier. or you have to get them away from the house.
Well, it would certainly have helped, too, if this whole thing could have just taken place in a day. Like, giving it a week of these people, like, having more and more people show up and being pushed further and further. If they go, yeah, they're going to show up and set up in the backyard. We're all going to go do some shopping or whatever. And then when we come home, they'll have it all decorated up and ready. And then they come home and they go, holy shit, they built a whole shed. And they did all, that's way more than we expected. And then they sit down and then it hits the ground running. Like, you could believe that they had it sprung upon them. But the fact that they're allowing this shit, essentially against their will, to last out of essentially, like, Minnesota politeness,
right?
Like for a week? Like, no,
you have a third of guy being borderline, but like ingratiating himself with the family, and then you have a third of things are getting a little bit spooky, and then you have a third of we are going to behead your husband and brand you and whip you guys bloody and cook your husband's corpse for Thanksgiving. And it's like none of that shit holds together. That doesn't make any sense at all. No. Like, how are they helping dad be more grateful when they cut his fucking head off? None of that makes any goddamn sense.
Yeah.
I wish that. So this is one of those where I find myself just going, oh, I want to watch. And I want to watch the movie where they go to a place like Colonial Williamsburg is, but, you know, all the way back to Pilgrims Just Land. It's like a reenactment.
Yeah.
And so they go there and they're, it's a week-long camp where you're gonna do pilgrim reenactment and suffer like the pilgrims did and be grateful.
Yeah.
I could so see that. Then they can't escape. Then the isolation makes sense. And yeah, it could just slowly get somewhere and like,
dropped off like camp. Yeah.
Like the first time somebody gets in the stocks, like maybe it's funny because it's just for 45 minutes because they were being a dick.
Yeah.
But then maybe the next time somebody goes in, they get whipped. And, you know, you could see that the shape of something really interesting there. And this is not that.
No.
And it doesn't even seem to want to be that, except occasionally it does.
Well, that's what I mean. In the last half to third where it's sort of like, they're like, we're going to do five movies at one time where they almost get into like the comical over-the-top Evil Dead 2 thing for, like,
a scene. Did we just murder as a family?
Like, yeah, like, for, like, a scene. Like, literally a scene. And then it stops. Like, it doesn't go beyond that. And it's like, that was when I really was, like, I was just really just, like,
that was the split second where this movie had a pulse for me because I was just so, like, outraged with the stupidity of it and bored. And then things go sideways and they immediately flip out and just completely go ham on the big guy. And, like, double tap him, and, like, when they find out he's still gurgling, they all go grab the next thing and just start beating him, and they have the, like, Raimi-looking grabbing a weapon bit, and one of them's, like, a spoon, and it's, like, that's funny. And then there's that joke, and I'm like, oh, if this is just going to go off the rails now for 25 minutes and just be family whooping eight kinds of ass and turning into, like, you know, Evil Dead 2 or Brain Dead or some shit, that's kind of funny, and it's sort of worth this annoying, stupid setup. But no, that's it. And I was like, oh, god damn it. Like, so for a split second, I was like, oh, now it's going to get silly and fun. And then it just stops. And that just, that then made me even more pissed off than it was at first.
Mm-hmm. And folks, at the beginning, they go and pick the berries. And then she picks up the little sprig. And he's like, no, oh, those are the Jerusalem cherries. They're deadly poison. It's like, well, why the fuck did you put them in the basket with the rest of the berries?
Right.
And then, but then they come in at the end where she poisons the berries with the Jerusalem cherries. So once that was pointed out, like, not only did Pilgrim Guy bring the things in the house instead of like, don't pick those, they're poison, he kept them and kept them close enough to the berries that they could go in the thing. And what?
It is really lazy writing.
I think that was,
yeah.
It's a small thing, but I think it's exemplary of the larger problem here. And there is just like that whiplash of tone where you have like, we're supposed to feel tense about the kid hiding. At the same time, there's the woman who just got the ice pick nailed to her head. And then everybody's puking just like repossessed, not The Exorcist, but repossessed levels of vomit.
Yeah, it's streams, like, you know? Yeah, Drag Me to Hell or Evil Dead, the remake. Like,
there's just like the faucet with the like little S-shaped spigot that goes inside your throat.
Yeah.
You know? This thing's fucking dumb. I was sad.
Yeah.
Anybody want to number it off?
Sure. Yeah, I was angry. This is, like I said, I spent a lot of time watching Highway Hill going, I have no idea what's going on, what the fuck? And then this one, I was just like, what the fuck? just fidgeting in my chair, being like, it's not over fast enough. So yeah, this is a truly just a bummer. That one scene had a bit of a pulse. I actually think Daughter is not a bad actor.
Yeah, she was all
right. I actually liked her, maybe just because she was the only rational person in this film. So like I would kind of think it'd be cool to see her in something else, because I would like to see if it's just the comparison that made her look like she was actually good, or if she's actually just like a good young actor, which is hard to find. So like I'd give, just mostly based on her performance in that one scene, I'll give it like a probably too generous, like 2.5 out of 10. Misunderstandings of how to play hide and seek. You don't hide well when you're constantly giving knocking clues.
Right. Yeah, I'd say 2.5 makes a lot of sense here. It just, and by the way, this is from the guy who brought us The Collector and The Collection.
Really?
Both of which were pretty solid and tonally consistent and mean as hell.
Yeah, I mean, Collection was good. I loved The Collector. I dug the shit out of that.
I liked both of those quite a bit. Yeah.
Yeah. So something is happening with this show where either we're picking up finished movies that can't find distribution anywhere else because it's the XFL kind of thing. or it's like, hey, we're going to give you $500,000 to film the screenplay you've had kicking around for a while, so grab something out of the back shelf. Like, is this the two new songs on the greatest hits compilation? Mm-hmm. You grab the thing that didn't make any of the albums and just make, you know, because it never seems to be the movie you've always dreamed of making, right? It's the thing you just kind of throw together.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would love to know how they are putting this series together, because I think it would explain a lot of why it's like this. But yeah, disappointing. Charlie, what you got?
I would, pardon me, I would go a little bit higher. Just not because, like I said, the beginning part of it, I was like, hold on just a second. What? Yeah. You're fine. Thank you for checking. Darling child was asking a question. The setup before I realized that they weren't going to commit to one logical thing, I was like, I kind of enjoyed the setup part of it, and I like the idea that there was going to be kind of like this sort of wackadoo sort of Krampus but on Thanksgiving kind of thing. Like, kind of was into that idea. I was like, okay, let's see where we go with this. And then I was like, nah, we're not gonna. I'm like, oh, fooey. And like, I was also pleasantly disturbed by middle-aged Kerr Smith. I was like, what the fuck?
No, yeah.
That was another one of those ones that's like, you know, in the cuts and the cradle, and so like, Jesus Christ, I've gotten old. Because like, I started seeing all these guys in the movies, and they're like in their mid-40s or late-40s or whatever, and I was like, how? Like, oh yeah, because I am. Like, oh yeah. Well, fuck, man. Like, okay. Now I see. But, you know, to that point, like, I certainly wouldn't be mad at the world if he got an opportunity to be in more stuff, because like, I don't think he did a bad job in this. I like that he wasn't 1-2-10 in terms of tone and volume. Like, that was kind of a nice thing, because, you know, if you're doing the inattentive, like, stockbroker, father character, rich family type of thing, it's going to be blah, 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 blah. You know, it's like that kind of thing. And he wasn't that either. So, like, yeah, come on, Kurt Smith, get you in some more stuff. Because, like, yeah, I think he did just perfectly fine. So I would maybe like 4, like 4 out of 10, 4 out of 10. So I see in your resume, in addition to Psycho, Pilgrim, Thanksgiving obsessed killer, that you're also a structural engineer. Like, well, I guess I am. Could you give me some examples of what you worked on? Like, you know that dunking thing they used to do to witches? Yeah, I can make the shit out of one of those. Like, oh, well, good to know. Good to know.
Yeah.
Glad we had this time today. Out of 10.
God, when they started the ducking thing, it's like, we have gone far off into Narnia. Like, none of this is Not gelling at all. All right. Let's fight about Necrotronic. I will fight for Necrotronic, and it will be the hill that I will die on. Necrotronic, Necrotronic. Of course. This is by the folks who brought us Wormwood, the movie that featured slow-fast hybrid zombies, which during the day were slow and at night were fast because they were running on like methane, and you could like harness them with scuba gear and turn them into something that could power a truck.
Yeah.
And fuck yeah, Wormwood was goddamn good. So this is more of a sci-fi-ish. It falls into the same vein as Men in Black and Ghostbusters, and on the less interesting side, like Wild Wild West and RIPD, where it's got a whole world and a whole bunch of technology that serves that world. So the basic setup, which takes a while to explain at the beginning, is they're the early humans when they first started sacrificing animals to please gods accidentally summoned demons, and necromancers rose up who were kind of naturally skilled at fighting the demons. At some point, a rogue necromancer managed to blast a demon into the internet, so demons can now be sent over Wi-Fi or over cellular data, which I think would blow the shit out of your data cap. But yeah. Anyway, to
there are demons after all, so using up your data would probably be their kind of thing.
Well, you got to compress your demons, you know?
Right. Yeah, it's like screen resolution
wind,
demons.
Win zip or something. Yeah. You don't need H demon. Anyway.
BL zip bub.
HT demon D.
Yeah. And then, so we have like this whole set of technology that is for capturing demons in like a hard drive and blasting them over the internet and like blasting them out of the internet and storing them in a trap box and blasting them into a 3D printer that prints them in demon flesh so that you can then kill them with a pulse gun. And all of that is the window dressing that probably takes up too much of this movie.
Also, that should just be one machine.
I found that fascinating. I found that shit fascinating. Yeah. But so then you have the, you know, guy who is necromancer, who is new to the gig and just found out that he's one of the chosen ones. And you have necromancer gone rogue who has been sipping on souls, who is fucking Monica Bellucci in just high scenery chewing fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And the you know, the whole thing kind of unravels from there. So I guess you either give this film its whole world or you don't. Is that kind of where you landed with this, Matt? Because I was like, oh yeah, keep it coming.
Yeah, I think so. Like, and the parts were interesting. Like, I was like, okay, fine. Like, that's sort of neat. I feel like I never found myself invested. I wasn't, like, annoyed or thought it was, like, dumb or anything, you know? It just came off kind of flat to me. So, like, yeah, it might just be, like, maybe this concept grabs it, maybe it doesn't. But I was like, all right, so there's this and there's that. It's like, okay, he's going to kind of run around and do some stuff. But it felt just kind of very A to B to C to D. End of movie type thing, you know, with a couple little twists that I was like, oh, that's kind of neat, you know, like bringing back Sister A or Sister B, I forget which, you know, after she gets, you know, kerfutzed by the demon in the internet or whatever, and then they bring her back, and for some reason her skin is like, looks like the painted on mermaid scales people do. And I was like, that's a cool look.
Oh, yeah, because it's made out of the demon skin from the 3D printer. Oh, also, there's the friend who the necromancer accidentally makes into a wraith.
Yeah, I hated him.
Who can just do some Avenger-style shit, like, with some ill-defined powers. But that is the thing. Either you go, god damn it, this guy's powers are ill-defined. Or you go, yeah.
I was fine with the powers being ill-defined. I just found him annoying. So I was like, you're the kind of the two comedy sidekick for a movie that isn't that comedy-ish. And I was like, you're kind of ruining the tone for me, buddy. So he just sort of seemed, he kind of stuck out like a sore thumb to me. Like, I don't know. Because I was like, oh, fuck, cool. They killed that guy right away because he was annoying. And then like, oh, damn it. Like, I literally had that thought. And then it's like, ah, fuck, he's still around.
Charlie, where'd you land on this guy?
Very, you know, kind of the mix for different things, I guess, like, you know, with with Wormwood, you can kind of go like, okay, I think you can, and maybe you can do this one too, but like with Wormwood, you can kind of explain it in like two sentences, kind of, sort of. Mm-hmm. But like with this, I feel like you have to, it's like a couple of paragraphs worth of explanation. And I think that's maybe where it kind of, some parts of it kind of drag, at least for me, a little bit, was that like, you know, I have a mild allergy to like Sci-Fi Channel over-explaining, where it's sort of like, you know, some nerd or team of nerds has like come up with this whole world, and God bless them because it's a lot of work and whatever, but they want to tell you all about it. And it's sort of like, and so I tend to just really, my eyes start to glaze over. Like, you know, the deepest I can get to is like Doctor Who. Like Doctor Who is still in my wheelhouse and I love Doctor Who, but it's like beyond that, anything that's more deep than that, I just go, my eyes start to cross. And so like this at times had that feel to it, although I don't think it's as egregious as your standard Sci-Fi Channel kind of stuff. The other thing with this too, with the up and down part of it, is I kind of liked our main guy, but the part of the other problem is like Caroline Ford plays the main sister, the kind of more, the one that isn't resurrected. And like she was on Carnival Row and she's great in Carnival Row. But she's like, she's a real talented lady, but she's like, not to be like playing to the cheap seats of like feminist, whatever, but like, she's more interesting, and I want the story to be more about her, instead of this idiot.
Yeah,
like I would like an idiot to be a side character, like dude doofus, like who kind of has a shit, you know, kind of shitty job and sort of schlepping through life. Like, have him be the side character. Like, have the lady who's like driven and has her shit together and a plan and is doing a lot of good stuff. Like, have her be the primary.
Well, it's that problem that you get with, in a lot of movies, it's the white guy that shows, you know, Last Samurai or whatever, where like, this is a people in a culture you're completely inexperienced with and they've been doing it since birth, but you show up and in a weekend learn how to do it better than them and show them how they really should be. And it's like, that's shitty.
Like, well, it's the hair. Yeah, it's the, like, born into this thing. Like, the only thing I've seen recently that does that with a female character is His Dark Materials, where Lyra just knows how to read the lithiometer better than anybody else, and that's just her gift at birth.
Right, and they kind of try to say that's the dude's thing, right? It's like he's just sort of the Neo of this universe, and like, okay, whatever, but it's just, that's kind of a... If your secret power you didn't realize you had since birth is Deus Ex Machina, then it's just not a very interesting story sometimes, you know?
It is an older model of a story to hang all of this incredibly creative stuff on. I'll give you that. Like, I've called that out in the past where it's the Ready Player One syndrome or even the Harry Potter syndrome.
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
Why aren't we following around the competent, awesome lady who's doing shit? Like, why isn't the sisters the main draw of this thing?
Yeah.
But at the same time, I just had so much fun with this thing. It was like, sure. The Wi-Fi units or the Wi-Fi repeaters have necromancer heads in them and they're still alive, but they're possessed by demons. Why not?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Like, go for it. The whole like, okay, so the demon is stored on the hard drive, but the demon is just a spirit and it needs it to have a body before we can blast it back to hell. So here's the hell collector thing and here's the skin suit printing thing. And then you have to put on the power glove and do the magic thing. So it's like magic plus spirituality plus technology. In just kind of a ridiculous James Bondy kind of way. That's some fun shit.
I think it's just Shadowrun. Yeah.
Oh, God, Shadowrun.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, this is a formula that is hard to get right. And as we've seen, can still be hit and miss for people. Yeah. Because when you do it right, you get the Ghostbusters or the Matrix or Men in Black. And when you do it not so right, you get RIPD or Men in Black International, where it's just kind of a lot of sound and fury and doesn't have any soul to it.
Yeah.
But to me, this had at least, like, it felt like it was made with love.
Yeah, I would give it that.
Oh, yeah. I 10,000% think that these guys don't have the ability to half-ass anything. You know, like, I just sort of, like, I don't think it's in their DNA to, like, kind of passively make a thing. I think they're forever going to just doing things 127%. Like, that's just sort of how they're built. And I think there's a lot of this to like, and there's a lot of this that's creative and weird and just, like, really cool and engaging and just all kinds of neat stuff happening, you know? But it's sort of like, you know, part of it too is like, you know, these guys are amazingly skilled at building shit. Like, these guys are just wizards when it comes to building things. And I admire their set dressing and the costuming and then these devices and doohickeys and all kinds of shit. Like, they're great at building stuff. But I think what happens sometimes with folks, and maybe this is my own sensitivities about this kind of stuff, but like, I think what happens is you get people that are very talented and very creative is that they get excited about toys. And I think what happens like a couple of times in this one where it's sort of like there was a little bit too much of like what looked, and maybe I'm just totally wrong, but what looked to be kind of green screeny sort of stuff and like too much neon kind of, you know, shiny sort of things. And, you know, it's like these guys are so talented at building things. Like, just show me the things you built. Like, I don't want to see any computer anything. Like, you know, you guys are very, very skilled at somehow build a stretch of dollar. And it's just really cool. And just show me those things because that makes me happy. You know, instead of...
You know, I didn't notice a lot of CG-ness, I think, because so much of it is practical. It seemed really wall-to-wall. Like, things that exist, even, like, the necromancer's head in the box was just the old school, you know, guy underneath the table kind of effect.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, all that stuff, you know, all that stuff I really like, but anytime anything turned on or was electrical in some capacity, there seemed to be a lot of glowing shit everywhere and, like, a lot of zappy bits and a lot of other kinds of stuff where it starts to, my eye just starts to get tired because it's sort of like, it just looks to be, it's like, it's just... Yes, I don't know. Like, I'm not articulating it super well, but it's one of those things that just kind of like, you know, just sort of because these guys are so damn talented. That's what gets me is that like, and because they're so ingenious in how they figure out ways of making shit occur. You know, like case in point, like all the sort of henchmen, sort of zombie, sort of things. That whole bit. It's like. All they are, they've just done some like basic makeup on them. And it's like, cool. That's all we need. And this is great. And it's just like, that's super rad. But then some of the scenes with Monica Bellucci, I was like, those ones made my eyes tired because it felt like there's just a lot of illuminated things and glowing things and zappy stuff. And I was just like, it's too much. Hmm. Just quit doing that. Don't like it so much. but, you know, overall, like, you know, these guys have got more creativity than 10 people put together. It's just sort of like, and so I really admire that. So, you know, certainly just keep doing things. Good Lord. Like, how much of a shit thing would it be if these guys all turned into accountants? You know, like, that would just be awful. Right. You know, because so it's just...
Oh, yeah, I do.
And then also, just to circle back to it again, like, again, Caroline Ford, who's in Carnival Row as well, plays the sister lady... No, not sister. What's the word I'm looking for? Heiress. That's the word I'm looking for. She's super good in that, and then she's super great in this. And so you always wonder, like, okay, am I seeing somebody now that, like, they're 10 years from now, they're just going to be all over all the things? And it's like, one can hope, because I think she's pretty great.
Was the other woman in anything?
I wouldn't have looked her up, and I didn't really recognize anything, to be honest. I kind of poked around a little bit. I was kind of wondering, too, and I didn't really know. I kind of feel like at times she seemed like she was definitely a very dedicated and talented actor that I think was given, you know, for plot reasons, but she's given kind of a noisy character. And it's sort of like, you know, she does a lot of the big stuff, the big face type of things. Rawr, rawr. And it's just like, all right.
Yeah, I liked her all right.
Well, I think she did a good job.
I forgot to mention that Patience in Pilgrim is also in Ready or Not, and she is fantastic in that.
Oh yeah.
But she has. I feel bad for her because she has one of those faces, which means she can never play a heroine or a lead because she just looks so evil. And she's gorgeous, but she has just this. Her face is configured for evil. Yeah, I feel bad for her, but you know, work is work, as Matt would say.
True.
There's another couple actors that are just like, you will always play a weasel. You can't.
Yeah, well, like the woman who is in Get Out.
Hmm.
who is, and then was in the Perfection, who she just can't be just a normal person. She's got an evil face.
The lady that does the little hypnotizing with the tea thing?
No, the girlfriend.
Ah, gotcha.
Oh, that's Brandon Williams' daughter.
Oh, who knew?
Hmm.
Not this guy. So this one, like, apparently I'm in the minority on this. Looking at just the real quick couple of reviews, it was like, this is overstuffed and it'll give you a headache and it moves too fast, but then they drop all this exposition and none of it makes sense and there are too many rules. And I was just like, it's a roller coaster. You just strap in, look at all the pretty things, enjoy the ride, figure that it's all going to end pretty okay for our protagonist. And, you know, just have fun with the thing. I would rather have a movie with too many ideas than not any ideas, too. So, you know, either you go on the ride or you don't. And I'm not here to blame or suggest that anybody's doing it wrong. But for me, this was fun as hell. So, look at my letterbox for this one real quick. Yeah, I said letterbox. I said 7 out of 10. I think that's pretty accurate. So I'll go for 7 out of 10. Back in the day, it took forever to blast somebody with a demon because you had to do it at 14.4 kilobytes per second.
Josh, when you're saying that, it reminds me a little bit of some of the utterly, utterly asinine criticisms I've seen of Martin Scorsese's new film, The Irishman. Because, like, they're like, oh, well, they're just, it's like, oh, it's, all it is just mindless glorification of violence, whatever. I was like, did you miss the part where they, like, highlight each one of these guys and how they got mob killed at some point in their life? Like, did you miss that part of the movie? And then they're like, oh, well, it's not like Goodfellas. Like, yep, it's a different story, different people. They're like, oh, well, it's just sort of like, kind of, it's too much like a historical thing. Like, it is a historical thing. And it's just, don't try to make your banana split a steak. Like, God damn it.
Yeah.
Just let it be. Jesus Christ. It's just like, fuck. Jesus. Don't get me started on the Irish, any dipshit that thinks they know anything about filmmaking, telling Martin Scorsese how he should and shouldn't make a movie. Fuck's sake. Like, I hated Gangs of New York, but I still admire their living shit out of it, because it, you know.
I was going to say, the guy who made Gangs of New York and Bringing Out the Dead is not somebody I'm going to hurry to watch more movies from, but I also haven't seen any of the movies that he's famous for, so.
Well, and I always, I kind of come from the side of like, well, Raging Bull is amazing, and Goodfellas is basically perfect. Like, it is an utterly perfect movie. Like, every single frame is perfect. And it's just sort of like, and so this is not that. But it's like, so? Yeah, whatever. Mm. And I will concede that you continue to be wrong about Bringing Out the Dead and right about Gangs in New York.
There's somebody who doesn't like Binary Act.
It's just somebody like, what's the
what? Yeah, I haven't seen Taxi Driver or Last Waltz, Raging Bull, King of Comedy, Color of Money, Goodfellas, Cape Fear. The only Scorsese I've seen really is Last Temptation of Christ, and then Gangs of New York and Bringing Out the Dead. So he's like 1 for 3 for me. Last Temptation of Christ was neat, though. Anyway, none of this has anything to do with the thing. Matt, you want to tell us what you got?
Yeah, like I said, this one just kind of felt flat to me. I think, yeah, it would have been helped had our sisters been the protagonists and new guy was, which is also a trope, but just been like the stereotypical maybe like trainee. And so you used him to be able to have to give exposition to, you know, a la the guy in like the first Hellboy movie, you know, that wasn't from the comics. Just like the people have a reason to say stuff that should be obvious to them. Like that's all he really served, except that he's also got real ultimate power. And that just is kind of too much.
It works in Men in Black. Cause like we're introduced to Will Smith's character because of the chasing down the alien. And it's like, oh, well,
yeah.
Then he gets introduced in there. And then now we have our voice into the movie. Whereas like in this one, it's like basically the Men in Black wasn't the first hour and 10 minutes of it being like a cop movie. And then it starts being an alien movie.
Yeah. So yeah, it didn't land with me. Like there's some fun, like that goat exploding was fucking cool. that I was like, ooh. And then like just kinda like, oh. But yeah, like just it didn't land. Yeah, I'm gonna say this is like a, how do we refer to the mom going bad with a demon thing? Laid back, sipping on souls and booch. yeah, 4.5, I guess.
It seems weird to rate this the same exact way that I rated Highway to Hell, but I guess it's a different class period. The curve was different, so I will also call it 6.5 out of 10. 6.5 out of 10. 6.5 out of 10. Like, is that a lament configuration? Like, no, it is not.
I'm just happy to see you.
Yeah. Exactly. Out of 10. Well played.
A couple of pinheads over here. All right, well, let's take a quick break then, and we'll be right back with our movies for next week. So next week we have, we kind of each one picked one here, I feel like, or two of us picked three of them, eight of us picked seven of them.
It averages out.
9 out of 10 dentists recommend these movies. Yeah. So first off, we have Dial Code Santa Claus, also known as Deadly Games, which is how it's listed on Shudder, but come on. If you can call your movie Dial Code Santa Claus, why would you not call your movie that? This is what I'm saying. Yeah. So, you know, Christmassy, murdery, Home Alone-y kind of thing. Should be fun. We're going to check out Ready or Not, which is available on Redbox and Video On Demand. It is a fucking blast. So, already seen it. Can't wait to discuss it. And we're watching Headhunter, which is streaming on Shudder. And that one is some medieval-y kind of monstery thing, so we're excited to watch that. And our short is called The Disappearance of Willie Bingham, and that will be linked to the show notes. And having said all that, I will also say that I am Josh, and have been this entire time, and I will say bye-bye.
We will talk to you soon. As far as y'all know, I've been Matt this entire time, and I'm sorry.
pardon me, this is Charlie down in Austin. Take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and we'll talk towards you again real soon. Take care of yourselves. Bye-bye.